Speaking on this program is Brother James Watkins.
How may I pray so as to be heard by the Eternal Father, by the God that loved us enough to give His Son? How may I pray to be heard of Him? Now, we were explaining the biblical side of this thing, and the only way we know how to pray to be heard of the Father is set forth in Scripture, given to us in great detail. Now, we pointed out that there are two spiritual families upon the earth, the family of God and the family of the devil. Now, the family of God is the church. You recall in 1 Timothy chapter 3 at verse 15, Paul said that thou mayest know how men ought to behave themselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The house of God, yes, the household, the family of God. Ephesians 2, verse 19. So then you're no longer strangers and sojourners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. So the church is the house, that is the family of God. Well, how may I get into the family of God? Friends, just as you got into your earthly father's family. Oh, that was a physical birth indeed, over which you had no control. Right. But today, just like Jesus told Nicodemus, and I think we noted this, John chapter 3, except one be born again, he can't enter the kingdom of heaven. And then he explained that, of course, in verse 5 of John chapter 3, except one be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? That's the church. Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus, in response to Peter's statement, he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, Lord, you're not going to build one thing, give Peter the keys to some. No. He's going to call men out of the lost state into the saved state. Ecclesia, translated church. I'll build my church. Oh, but when you call them out of the lost state into the saved state, Lord, how are they going to be guided? Well, I'm going to be their king, John 18, verse 36. Oh, king? Yes, over the kingdom. You see, from the standpoint of this government, the church about which you read in the New Testament is a kingdom. Yes? So it is the family of God, His government upon the earth. Right. And how do you become a child in the family of God? You're born into His family, a spiritual birth, indeed, comprised of water under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Like the Lord said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Oh, but you're saved in Christ, 2 Timothy 2:10, right. But when you're saved, the Lord adds you to the church, Acts 2, verse 4-7, why certainly. The church is the community of the redeemed, just the two classes, the lost and the saved. Oh, that's the world and the church. So the church is the family of God. Now you stop and think with me for a moment. Two families upon the earth, the family of God, and as Jesus said to those Pharisees, you are of your father, the devil. What is that? John chapter 8, verse 44? Check it out. The some of the father have as their father the devil? Yes. Who would that be? That's the person who doesn't have God as his father. Well, now somebody said, God is the father of who? Whoa. God has no illegitimate children. God has no children outside His family. The church is the family of God. Oh, then I have to be born into the family of God, right? Friend, unless you are a child of God, you can't say, my Father in heaven, your Father isn't in heaven. No. You have to be born into the family of God before you can pray to God as your heavenly Father. Now, don't misunderstand me. God works in the lives of all men, and He bestows gifts unlimited upon all men. However, you cannot pray scripturally to God and expect your prayers to be answered unless you're a child of God. Our Father, who art in heaven, who can call God Father? One who's in His family. Oh, just as when I was born into my father's family, I called my dad father. I couldn't call the other men in the community father. They weren't my father, just my dad, my father. Oh, same thing, only it's spiritual in nature. To call upon God in prayer, you have to be a child of God. We understand that. That is, you have been saved from sin. Oh, and if you're saved from sin, then you're in the church. No, not something you can join. No, anything you can join that's religious in nature will condemn you. You can't join salvation. You have to be saved. That's demonstrated in the second chapter of the book of Acts, isn't it? Sure, you remember the Jewish auditors that were there. The Holy Spirit came on the apostles, verses 1 through 4, spake with other tongues. Oh, the multitude came together, were confounded, because every man heard them speaking in his own language. And they were amazed and marveled, saying, are not all these that speak Galileans? How hear we ever men in our own language wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, the dwellers of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, parts of Libya, about Cyrene, strangers from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. All of these people represented you. Oh, and Peter, by the way, stood up and preached a sermon. Now, all of them are speaking, but Peter's sermon is recorded. And among other things, he said, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by mighty works, wonders, and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, even as you yourselves also know, him being delivered up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye, by the hands of lawless men, did crucify and slay, whom God raised up, having loosed the pangs of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David saith concerning him, I beheld the Lord always before my face. He's on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover my flesh also shall dwell in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in Hades, neither wilt thou give thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou madest known unto me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of gladness with thy countenance. Brethren, I may say unto you freely of the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us until this day. Being therefore at the right hand of God exalted, having received the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he, who, Jesus Christ, wait a minute, how do I know that? David died, was buried, his tomb is with us until this day. Now listen, being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath that of the fruit of his loins he would set one upon his throne, he foreseeing this spake of the resurrection of the Christ. Oh, so he's talking about Christ in that prophecy. Right. So then God raised up Jesus Christ. He is today reigning on David's throne over spiritual Israel, the church. And you remember, of course, his auditors were cut to the heart, and they said, brethren, what shall we do? Well, Peter said, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call unto him. With many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. They, therefore, that gladly received his word, were baptized, and there were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. Oh, and verse 47 says, the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. Oh, then when one is saved from sin, he's no longer lost. Right. That means he is a citizen in the government of God upon the earth, which is a monarchy, a kingdom. John 18, verse 36. Oh, but more than that, that means that he is a child in the family of God. Right. Now he has access to the throne of God through the shed blood of God's Son. Indeed, he prays to God through Jesus Christ. Generally, when the prayers are concluded, we say, in Jesus' name. That's it. By the authority of Christ, we have access to the throne of God. You recall when Christ died on the cross, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, torn apart. What is the significance of the... Oh, under the law, nobody but the high priest, and he only once a year, could go into the most holy place. Yeah, but when Christ died, ripped wide open, every child of God has access to the throne of God through Jesus Christ. Friend, you cannot pray to the Father and call him Father if you're in the devil's family. You have to be obedient to the fundamental principles of the gospel, whereupon the Lord will add you to the church because you are then saved from sin. Yes, but the church is the family of God. 1 Timothy 3:15, Ephesians 2, verse 19. Right. Oh, then, as a child in God's family, then you have the privilege or access of prayer. Right. Oh, that's the only way you can pray to God and be heard. Now, I need to say something else maybe about prayer also. We get the idea sometimes that, now, God needs to listen to me. He needs to answer me. Pray to God. Pray to God. We'll talk about that later. As a child of God, you fervently pray to Him. Leave the answer, the consequences to Him. You see, He knows what I need. I don't. I think I need this, so I pray to God about it. And He understands that. He hears the prayer. But He provides for me what I actually need. But we'll talk about that at a later time. But there was one other question on that brochure that I think needs some attention. How may I be happy in this life? Oh, friend, that is an excellent question indeed. Now, most people, as this article said, think that happiness is a result of the accumulation of wealth or prestige or beauty or... That's not the case. No, no. What was it Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4? Oh, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your forbearance be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. In nothing be anxious, but in all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Oh, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Through verse 7. Now that needs a little bit of thought and application of other scripture. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Philippians 4, verse 4. Well, someone says now, preacher, the Bible clearly teaches, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, yea, and all who would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Oh, no question about that. Yes, I remember the Apostle Paul. What is that? 2 Corinthians chapter 11? He's talking about the things he endured. He was beaten 5 times by the Jews, 40 stripes each, save one. They only hit him 39 times. 5 times his back was laid open with a scourge. Oh, and 3 times he was beaten with the Roman rod. And he said he'd suffered shipwreck several times. And a day and a night he'd been in the deep. Oh, and I remember that he was stoned and drug out of the city of Lystra and left for dead. Hey, Paul, what do you mean, rejoice in the Lord always? Man, you try to live the Christian life in a world controlled by the devil, and you're going to have, you better believe you're going to have problems. Oh, so if you're looking for happiness in the physical sense of the term, forget it. Oh, sure. Yes, sir. I control the physical with the spiritual. And I'm happy. Now, oh, somebody says, yeah, but you're ridiculed, you're narrow-minded, you're dogmatic, you're bigoted, you're ha-ha-ha, friend. Base your faith upon a thus saith the Lord. And then some fellow comes up, book, chapter, and verse. That's the wonderful security that we have. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. How can I rejoice in the Lord? Oh, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Be ye free from the love of money, content with such things as you have. For Himself hath said, I'll never fail thee, neither will I in any wise forsake thee. So with good courage we say, the Lord is my helper. Whom shall I fear? What shall man do unto me? Ooh, that's the basis of genuine happiness in this life. As the Lord said in Matthew 10, verse 28, fear not him who can destroy the body, after that hath no more that he can do, but rather fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Just a minute, Lord. Not to be afraid of the person that... Now, sure, we understand about human nature. Yeah, I don't like the idea of being shot at or maybe damage done to the old physical man. Why? Oh, but when the chips are down. I mean, when you get right down to where the rubber meets the road, man can't do a thing in the world to it. All he can do is physical. Well, I'm going to lose his physical body anyway. It's appointed unto man once to die. Hebrews 9, verse 27. Yes, sir. So, fear not him who can destroy the body. That's as much as he can do. That's as far as he can go. Oh, but fear God. But when you fear God, then you don't have to be overly anxious about material things. That's correct. Friend, the basis of genuine happiness is spiritual in nature. You can't be happy in this whole world just because you have accumulated a great deal of wealth. You think about it for a moment. I remember when I was 17. Couldn't wait till I turned 70. My dad signed for me, went in the Navy. I mean, that was great. Everything about it was fine. Enjoy. That's been a few years ago. It is amazing how rapidly life passes. And you know, up at this end, you think, hey, where did all that go? I mean, what? Oh, I've been happy all my life. The Lord has blessed me every day of my life. It is a wonderful thing, but it's very brief. Man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Cometh forth as a flower and is cut down. Fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Didn't Job say that, chapter 14, verse 1? Yes, sir. Friend, life on this earth is very, very brief. Yeah, but man, I have accumulated... Friend, you can only eat one meal at a time. You can only wear one pair of shoes at a time. You can only wear one suit at a time. And besides that, you didn't bring it, and you won't take it. And while you're here, it isn't yours. No, the earth and the fullness thereof belong to God. Oh, now the basis of happiness is not my control of material stuff. No. But my recognition of the one who owns what he has provided me as a gift. And I use it in his service. Don't misunderstand me. Nothing wrong with business acumen. Nothing wrong with making money. Nothing wrong with having that drive and goals that you plan to. Great. That's what life's all about. And that's what youth and vigor is all about. Yes, sir. Do it. But remember, you live in God's world. You breathe His air. Now you drink His water. You eat His food. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variation, neither shadow that is cast by turning. How can I be happy and accumulate a great deal of this world's material goods? Oh, place your trust in the Lord and use these material blessings as a means of blessing the lives of others. Oh, why, sure. Nothing wrong with money. Now, when the Lord said, lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust consume, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth consume, where thieves do not break through nor steal. Oh, for where thy treasure is, there will thy heart be also. That's verses 19 through 21, Matthew chapter 6. Is he saying there in 19 that I shouldn't accumulate any earthly goods at all? I shouldn't have a bank account, shouldn't have my place paid for, shouldn't have a... Why, certainly not. Lord, don't care how much money you have. Money is a medium of exchange. What is he doing? He's making a contrast. He's placing the emphasis where it belongs. He's telling you how to be happy in this world. Oh, don't place the emphasis on the material. Where thy treasure is, there will thy heart be also. Where's my treasure? With God in heaven. It's spiritual matters. Yes, sir. I want to be right with Him who died to redeem my soul. Otherwise, I'm unhappy. Things are just not balanced. No. When I order my life by thus saith the Lord, well, how much material substance you have is not important. No. You use that in recognition of the fact that it belongs to God who gave His Son to die to redeem your soul. The only possibility of happiness in this old physical world is a right relationship with Him who supplies your every need. That's it. Yes, sir. That's the only way you can be happy in this life. Oh, now someone says, preacher, I know a lot of people that are not Christian. They don't know anything about the Lord, but they're happy at... Oh, I understand about, elation and times of rejoicing. And, yeah, your favorite team makes a touchdown. You know, wow, that's great, you know. Or, that favorite player knocks a home run. Man, yeah, you jump up and down, clap. Wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning. Ask yourself, who am I? And then, especially after a few years pass, look at the back of your hand. Ask yourself, what happened to that skin on the back of my hand? How did it get so wrinkled and so thin? Huh? Why those black spots? Friend, you're just here for a short time. Your happiness is not contingent upon material substance. No, no. Your happiness will never be fully developed if you're governed only by the physical senses. Sure, there'll be times of elation. Yeah, be times of joy, and more than at other times of sorrow. Oh, but if you give your life in humble obedience to the Lord, then in the most negative circumstances, you'll be happy. You remember Acts chapter 5? Peter and John had been teaching, of course, in the temple. And in their teaching, they taught the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And those jealous Pharisees, you know, ungodly, immoral, religious people, prejudiced in the extreme, they wanted to stop that. They didn't agree with that. Peter said, whether it's right to hearken unto you or unto God, judge ye. But we cannot bespeak the things which we heard. You know what they did there in chapter 5? They beat them. 39 stripes, laid their backs open with the scourge. Now, Peter and John left that assembly doing what? Now, think about it. If we aren't careful, we'd say, man, they left that griping. Here they're trying to do these people some good and trying to share the love of God with them, and they beat us while we... No. They went out from the presence of that assembly rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer affliction for the people of God. You see, happiness in this world is not contingent upon the absence of negative circumstances. Just as sure as you live for the Lord, you're going to have those negative circumstances. Oh, but that Romans 8, verse 28, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and who are called according to His purpose. Isn't that wonderful? All things work together for good. Sure, life, death. Oh, yes, sir. Hardship, difficulties. Oh, seemingly insurmountable problems. How do you handle that? Get on your knees and talk to God. Look into the Word and find the solution. Read God's Word. Make application of the eternal principles herein contained. Friends, rejoice in the Lord. Ah, yes. Again, I will say, rejoice. Friend, how can I rejoice in the Lord when there are so many negative circumstances brought to bear upon the old physical being? Oh, the Lord is at hand. What? Let your forbearance be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. You see, He's here all the time. I need to understand that. Omnipresent, that means He's everywhere all the time. Do you recall when the disciples were in the boat in the midst of the sea, fourth watch of the night, terrible storm on the lake? Jesus came walking on the water. Do you remember what He said? Now, they thought they were seeing a ghost. They were afraid. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Wait a minute. What is the lesson for me in this, friend? Right in the midst of the most terrible storms of life, in the most negative circumstances that you can imagine in this whole world, Jesus said, I'm here. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Oh, then I need to put my trust in. Somebody said, yeah, but preacher, you could die. Friends, you're going to die anyway. Get out of the physical realm. Place your emphasis on things that are spiritual in nature. If you are depending upon this whole world and the physical circumstances that surround you to provide for your happiness, forget it. You won't be happy very long. No. It'll just be, you know, off and on and very temporary and nothing permanent about it. But if you dedicate your life in humble obedience to the Lord's will, if you seek to live a Christ-like life, giving to those who stand in need, those who treat you badly, turn the other cheek. No, avenge not yourselves, beloved, but give place to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. Oh, then what I need to do is simply live my life in humble obedience to the Lord. Believing Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, I made up my mind that I would not willfully or deliberately walk in sin anymore. That's repentance. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I was buried with my Lord in baptism. Yes, but raised to walk in newness of life, in harmony with the instruction contained in His blood-sealed covenant.